Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und Nils Bodzin macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann. Buchmann. Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Drist ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast with me, Johnny Walsh. Today I'm joined once again by the wonderful Matthew Karagic. Matthew, how are you doing this morning?
Very well, thank you. Pleasure to be on once more.
It is great to have you on again as well. And we have a special guest this morning. Yes, that makes it 2 in 2 weeks. How lucky are you? We have Eva Lotta on. Unfortunately, well, at the moment anyway, she is an Arminia Bielefeld fan. Eva, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Greetings from Münster.
Yes, but we must preface that by saying Arminia Bielefeld are much better than Preußen Münster, even though Preußen are second in the Dritte Liga table. But the less said about that, the better. We are here to talk about the club that matters most in that region of the world, and that is Arminia Bielefeld. Unfortunately, it is not in a positive way. We asked you on Twitter, Matchday 10 has been anything but a classic. But for Arminia Bielefeld, it's another defeat in a game that they probably, on the balance of things, didn't deserve to lose. Is it bad luck, or is there more to it? We give you 3 options, with the fourth being other. No luck came in with 20%. A poor defence is the problem, with 44. Individual errors at 29, and other with 7%. All of the other suggestions were all of the above. One from Ian James Parsley was killer instinct. Well, the lack of it. Eva, where do we start with this? The season started so well. There was a lot of promise. I would say there still is an awful lot of promise with this side. But in recent weeks, for one reason or another, it just hasn't clicked.
Yeah, so what the poll says, poor defense is a huge problem. They just don't seem to figure out what to do when they have to go their way back from the other half of the field. And they're too slow in many ways. So especially when Zalga and Berna play together, they just don't seem to work out how to deal with communication. And it was better with Behrendt in the back, because I think he's just a good one for just like punch the ball out of it in some way. But yeah, the goals, they're just too easy. So it's not, they don't really seem to care how to deal with the problem. And it's like the fifth or the sixth time that Zaibina said that in the press conference after the match. And I think that is a really huge problem, because it seems like they don't really care about changing. And I think the defense is constantly changing. So we, like, nearly every week we have new players there, and they just don't seem like to work together very well. Although the new players with Bruna and Klaus, they were quite good in the beginning. But I also think that the lack of a good second half, like against Dresden or against Fürth now, is a huge problem as well.
I think the lack of a referee giving you a penalty for handball could also be cited as one of the reasons that things haven't gone your way. But Matthew, would you back up what Eva's saying?
Yeah, defensively they've really struggled, and you know, they're equal third in goals conceded, along with Magdeburg, with the bottom two sides, Duisburg and Ingolstadt, leading that category for goals conceded. It's become an issue, and you know, changing it up every week in the back four is not exactly good for team balance. We talked about it with Köln a few weeks ago, the lack of continuity in the back four, and I think it's a real issue, the fact that Jeff Sabina doesn't have confidence picking the same back four each week. And Yeah, it's proven a real issue, and you've got to feel sorry for Stefan Ortega, who, you know, last season was arguably the best goalkeeper in the league, and this season the amount of high quality chances that opponents are getting on his goal is far too great, and we see games where he's conceding three goals, and you know, it gets to the point where he rips his shirt in frustration because, you know, A, things aren't going his way, and B, they defensively just continue to struggle.
Can I just say, no matter what else happens this season, that is my moment of the season. Him ripping his shirt from top to bottom was just absolutely fantastic. And Eva, I think you sent me it yesterday. Stefan Ortega is now looking at 4 weeks on the sidelines. How big of a blow would that be?
I think I don't really saw Klivin, so our second goalkeeper, play yet, so I don't want to say it's going to be really, really bad, but Ortega is a really good goalkeeper, so although he gets a lot of goals against him in the past weeks, he's a really good goalkeeper to rely on, and he plays like he really is good for the defense, but so probably he would have or could have been sent off as well. So I didn't really saw it from like in the highlights or so. So I don't really know if it was a foul against the Fear player. I don't really know his name, but yeah, it was the second time in three matches, like against Köln, he did quite the same with against Drexler, and that he has to do it shows that the defense just not capable of doing its job, I think. So I don't really know with him missing, it's going to be really, really tough weeks. And like against Auer and then in the DFB Pokal next week. So I don't really know.
We hope that Philip Kevin is an apt understudy and that he does his job as well as he can. Obviously, as you say, replacing arguably the best goalkeeper in the league won't be an easy task at all. Obviously, losing, you know, Konstantin Kerschbaumer from midfield is a bit of an issue, but I would say that Niels Seufert and Manuel Puitel have played very, very well in the centre so far. Matthew, going forward, do you think there's anything that could maybe be addressed? I know Ian James Parsley's picked up on the lack of a killer instinct, and maybe that's what's missing. Taking chances maybe isn't the biggest problem, but taking chances at the right time is.
You could say that. I mean, they have as many goals as Union Berlin this season, and, you know, Union are sitting fourth on the standings, so it tells you that, you know, they've been able to create chances, they've been able to score goals. It's just that just in the defensive half, they can't keep it tight for 90 minutes. They have lapses in concentration, and they allow, you know, teams to get back into games even when they've controlled for long periods. And I think we've seen it throughout the season where, you know, Bielefeld have had control of games, but they concede goals at really bad times, and then the momentum shifts and they're on the back foot once more. So they've certainly got to work on the mental aspect and holding a lead and tightening up defensively, obviously, has to be the number one priority for the club.
Hopefully they can do that in the next couple of weeks. And speaking of goals and goal of the week, Tobias Moa won our goal of the week poll with 41% of the vote for his second against Arminia Bielefeld. Sebastian Gliesbeck only got 10 for his strike against Magdeburg, and 2 goals within 2 minutes in the same game. Philip Riese against Dynamo got 21% of the vote, and Kone's response got 28% of the vote. So pretty even between those two, but Tobias Moore, the runaway winner. Would you have gone for Tobias Moore as well, Matthew?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, his finish was quite good, but the ball played by Vitek to Moore was pinpoint. You know, he hits him in stride, and, you know, Moore still had it all to do with Ortega coming out to limit the space, but to beat a, you know, class goalkeeper like that at his near post was superb and well worthy of the goal of the week.
It's funny how we keep talking about 1860 Munich players doing well but not playing for 1860 Munich. Eva, which one would you have picked?
I don't know, really, although we lost, but I think the Mall did quite well, so it was a really, really good finish, and was way back, like the time it was like 86 or like 18 minute or so. It was minute 80, I don't know. But he quick finished quite well, so I have to say it was a really good one. I didn't really see, like, I think I saw the one not from Kony, quite good one as well, but I would agree with the Mall one, unfortunately.
Well, hopefully, as we go through the show, we can talk a bit more positively about Armenia, and we're going to get stuck into our Match Day 10 preview right now with our Group 1 games. Yes, and it is with Holstein Kiel against SFC Köln where we will start our roundup of Match Day 10. That was a 1-1 draw. Köln had taken the lead through the greatest striker ever to grace a football pitch. That is Simon Tuada. He scored from a penalty just before halftime, and Holstein Kiel returned the favour just before the end of the game with Heinz Moschel getting his first goal. What a way to get it. What a time to get it as well. In the 88th minute, after a bit of a mix-up between Jorge Mele and Timo Horn. Matthew, not a classic by any means, but all in all, probably a fair result.
It was, but I think Marcus Anfang would have been very frustrated that, you know, despite taking the lead just before halftime, Köln didn't go for the jugular, so to speak, and try and extend the lead, and that they just let Kiel hang around. And, you know, the team from the north only had one shot on target, and that was the 88th minute header. So, yeah, points dropped, but it's obviously it's good for all the for the competition that it's nice and tight. And yeah, I think it was a game that, you know, Köln could have easily gone and won, but they let Tim Velter's side have a chance, and they eventually took it.
Injuries have been a real problem for Köln. Lasse Sobiech is out injured. He's joined by Christian Clemens, Vincent Cocello. Louis Schaub's injury isn't that serious, thankfully, for them. Yanis Horn, there was a bit of a concern of. And the same with Marco Huga. But it looks like both of them will also be okay. So a lot of concern around the squad at the moment. Eva, you obviously seen Armenia play against Köln a couple of weeks ago. What do you think's changed between now and then? They obviously lost against MSV Duisburg just before the international break. They just don't seem to be clicking at the moment.
I think it's the lack of consistency, maybe. So Zweite Bundesliga is very, very different from Bundesliga, and I think like everyone can win, basically. That's what we say, like, since, I don't know, 2008 or so, probably. But even Köln, I think they do better than Hamburg. So when we played against both of them, and Köln really has more, like, they have the better strikers and all that stuff. So I think they will come back. So they, maybe it was with the international break, they didn't really know. With all those international breaks, always you're kind of in a hole, so you don't know what to do. And yeah, maybe I'm pretty sure they will continue to do the good work.
I would be shocked if they didn't get promoted, but I think this week is the first in, I don't know, Matthew, maybe since we actually started this podcast, that we haven't been asked a question about Köln getting promoted. So that's something nice. I suppose we get the chance to talk about the other teams in the league a little bit, and I suppose we should give Kiel praise for what was a very good performance, and once again they score late on to preserve their unbeaten home record.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. You know, obviously we talked about how that, you know, with the new management, they want to play a different style compared to what they played under Anfang, and you know, it hasn't been pretty at times under Tim Velter, but we've seen more cases than not they've been able to find a way to win. will find a way to get a result. And obviously this was the case here. And, they were able to work themselves into the contest towards the end of the game and apply pressure, and they forced the error, which led to the goal.
That they certainly did. And from one team who is managing to keep up an unbeaten home record to one team which has found it extremely difficult at home this season, that is HSV. They failed to break down a stubborn Bochum side. That game ended 0-0, much to my delight. 10 hours to watch a 0-0, and then 10 hours back, living the life. Painful experience. Would still 110% recommend it, though. Eva, did you manage to see any of this game? I think, on the balance of things, a draw was probably a fair result.
Yeah, I think so too. So I only saw it with two other games that day, but so there was a reason they didn't quite often go to the Hamburg game. I think they, especially in the beginning, they had their chances, but then like all the a lot of the speed game got out of the game, and like I think in the end they had some chances as well, but all in all I think a draw was quite good for that game.
I think much like the MSV game on Monday evening, it was what was going on off the pitch that stole the attention from what was going on the pitch. For once, I think this is my first time, I don't know how many times I've been to Germany, but for the first time I was actually in a block where there was Poiro, which was nice rather than to see it from afar. And what was even better was the wind was coming through the back of the stand, so it blew it all away from us. It was great. You just got to watch it and you didn't have to choke with the smoke. Matthew, what did you make of this one? I think a draw was probably a fair result, but at the same time, we could have been looking at a 1-1, a 2-2, a 3-3 rather than a 0-0.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fair result because neither team really commanded the game, and it was more of a midfield struggle than anything. And I think what we're seeing is that despite all the options Hamburg have, they struggle to consistently find the back of the net. 12 goals this season, which is, you know, considering the teams in the top half of the standings, is the worst, and it's the lowest. And in fact, Hamburg have scored less goals than Simon Terodde this season, and he's played less games. So that tells you all you need to know about the issues Hamburg have got going forward. And I think all in all, they were pretty disappointing. And you know, credit to Bochum, who were able to frustrate them with a stubborn defence and some very good goalkeeping once again by Manuel Riemann, who's putting a very good season together.
Yes, very much enjoying his return to form. Obviously, was very good at Osnabrück and Sandhausen before he came to Bochum, and is this season showing why they put so much faith in him. He has done the business so far, and fingers crossed that will continue. And our final game of Group 1 was a big battle at the wrong end of the table that was featuring Sandhausen and Ingolstadt. A 4-0 win for Sandhausen, which is absolutely huge. A great start for Uwe Koshinat in his first game in charge, and Fabian Sleusner getting two goals for himself. And he was also fouled. I say fouled in inverted commas because I'm not really sure how much contact there was from Marvin Matip. But nevertheless, Sandhausen comfortably the better side, and Ingolstadt look a bit of a mess. Eva, we regularly talk about Ingolstadt and how they've struggled, but this is another big defeat for them, and it's hard to see a way for them to come back because their confidence just seems absolutely shot.
Yeah, especially with Kirschbaumer, that I thought like with him they would play so good this season because he's a really unique player, but I saw him against Sandhausen and there's nothing really left of him from last season. And I think it's really disappointing. I think especially for Ingolstadt, they put so much money into this season, into new players. And yeah, but that's also a way to show that money isn't everything, especially in second Bundesliga. So I'm quite sure they will go up again in the table, but right now they just don't seem to work together at all. So every time they are in the opponent's field or half of the field, they just lose it. So yeah, and Sandhausen isn't Köln or I don't know, like every other one team that is on the top. So I don't really know what's happening to them.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a funny season, but from an Armenia perspective, I think there are a few people at the Alm perhaps wishing that Ingolstadt don't improve. This Konstantin Kirschbaumer doesn't have a contract that is valid for Dritte Liga, and that a certain Austrian might be heading north come the end of the season. Although, as you say, with the squad they have and the money that they've spent, it's hard to see them not climbing the table at some rate. But Matthew, amazing start for Uwe Koshinat and showing Alexander Nuri how it should be done.
Yeah, they were efficient going forward. They created chances and they took them with relative ease. But it was, I mean, it was some pretty slapstick defending by Ingolstadt. They were at all sorts for almost the entire 90 minutes. And yeah, I think for Sandhausen, it's a great win. A good start under Uwe Koshinat, and it's a season builder. I mean, in theory, that's a 6-pointer that they've won, and now they're only, you know, they're close enough to Magdeburg that they can start climbing the table. So it's a great result for them, and we'll see if they can build that momentum in the coming weeks.
That defeat does leave Ingolstadt bottom on goal difference, and as you say, Matthew, Sandhausen are up in the 16th, just a point behind Magdeburg. And it was a bit unfortunate, I think, that some of the goals did happen. As you say, you look at the penalty, was it a penalty? I'm not sure how much contact there was. And then Philip Hjelvagen completely wipes out Benedikt Gimba as he's going to clear the ball. And Dennis Linsmeyer says, thank you very much, slots into an open net. Just one of those days where you want the ground to swallow you up whole. But we're not going to stop there. It's time to move on to Group 2, and we'll start with Dynamo against Awa. Yes, it is with the Saxon Derby where we will begin our review of our Group 2 games. And unfortunately, this wasn't a classic either. An awful lot of endeavour, as you would expect from a derby. Plenty of well-meaning tackles, shall we say. But Matthew, at the end of the day, two good goals, we must say. Both of them, of course, made our goal of the week poll. But it was a game where the final ball was what was really lacking.
Yeah, it was. And I think there would be an element more frustration for Dresden than it was for Auer. It's a great point for them. Considering we know the situation they'll end up in, which will be fighting to avoid relegation. But for Dresden, it was one of those where they failed to capitalise. They had the man advantage for, you know, 37 or so minutes when Nikolai Rupp got sent off. And they just couldn't find a way. I think Martin Manuel was spectacular in goals. And, you know, he really helped Auer earn that point in a game that, you know, as you said, lacked. They really lack some polish in the final third.
Such was my attention that I paid to this game. I actually didn't realise he got sent off until I looked afterwards. So I think that sums up about how interesting this game was. Eva, a tough game between two sides who are in mid-table, both either side of Armenia. But I would guess that, you know, when it comes to it, you would maybe expect Armenia to finish above both of them come the end of the season.
I don't really know. I think they're both doing a great job so far. Although they had, especially Dresden, they had a really, really tough beginning. But they always, like, in the end, they can always manage to finish, like, in the upper midfield of the table. So it really depends how Armenia is doing against Auer, for example, now. So we will see about that, and I can't really tell already, so we will see about that in a while.
Yes, and we will come on to that later when we are looking at our match day 11 preview. Hopefully, for Armenia's sake, it's a game that they can pick up 3 points in and get back on track. Of course, with how the table is at the minute, 3 points changes absolutely everything. And you never know how things are going to go. Matthew, I think Gawa in recent weeks have done pretty well overall, as Eva says. Both sides had a particularly tough start, and as much as Dynamo have come out of that better, I think given the pressure that Daniel Meyer was under, they've done quite well.
Yeah, agreed. They've showed great endeavour and courage in the way they play, and we know in recent history, you know, whoever's been in charge have played a relatively defensive style, but we've seen under Daniel Meyer that he wants his sides to be a bit more aggressive going forward. We saw the likes of Jan Hoshard, who was playing in a central midfield role, get forward early in the game, and he had a couple of opportunities to score. And I think that's the new Al we're going to see, is a side looking to not have, you know, those 1-0 games, but they'll look to pepper the score sheet. I think Paco Testrot's been quite good as a signing. Emmanuel Yor has been also good, and they, you know, it's been a work in progress, but I think that the side is buying into the philosophy that Meyer wants to portray. And, you know, so far I think they've done quite well considering, you know, the budget and the squad that he has at his disposal.
Another two sides, I suppose, that have done very well this season are Paderborn and Union. They were the other drab and dreary 0-0 draw on Sunday. Neither side able to get that crucial goal that would have, of course, meant the 3 points would have headed their way. Eva, Paderborn have been pretty decent so far this season. I know that maybe the wrong person to ask when it comes to talking positively about Paderborn, but I think, as we were saying last week, they're a bit like Kiel from last season, happy to go forward, pretty decent at the back, but overall quite exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think so too, especially after being promoted. They're doing a great job. They managed to keep everything in line, and they could have won the game against Union because I think they were the better team until minute like 60, 65 or so. So it wouldn't, like, they would have deserved to win the match, but they couldn't really manage to score a goal. So in the end, that's how the game ended. And I think Union could live with that better than Paderborn could.
I think that's definitely true, and it does mean, Matthew, of course, that Union march on as one of the few undefeated teams left in Europe. Is it a case of happy days, we're still unbeaten, or much like, I'll give a local example, Coleraine here, who went 38 games unbeaten, just missed out on the league by 2 points last season, have had a decent start this year, but not what they would have wanted. I really didn't think I would be comparing Coleraine to Union Berlin this morning, but things just, you know, they're just that one step away and are maybe at this point starting to try and defend an unbeaten record rather than going for wins.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous game to play. I mean, you know, being in the position that they've been in to start the season, you would think that Urs Fischer would look for his side to go on and win games. And, you know, the first 60 minutes of the game against Paderborn, they were quite passive. They didn't really threaten the Paderborn goal, but, you know, after the hour mark, they certainly turned it on. So perhaps we might see a more determined performance this weekend. They've got a big game, obviously, against Dresden. And, I think they need to get some confidence back into Sebastian Anderson. He's gone goalless for quite a few weeks now, and I think for him, he needs to see the ball rolling to the back of the net. Just having your main striker not finding the back of the net can sometimes be problematic. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to have other players scoring, but you would like to see him, you know, really lead the line and you know, convert the chances he has.
That is very, very true. And a team that at the moment, for whatever reason, don't need any help in scoring goals is Greuther Fürth. Tobias Moore is a revelation. I don't think anyone expected this from him, having come from Alemannia Aachen, from Regionalliga West. He has been absolutely incredible, I think it's fair to say, and another brace at the weekend continues his fine form. Of course, it was against Eva's Armenia. We'll whisper that quietly. Danny will be very happy. So, as we were saying to Eva before the programme started, normally when you come on, your team gets a good run of results. But to be fair, Alex was on last week and they lost 4-0 to Sandhausen. So, I'm not sure how that's going to go. Maybe it's, you know, Danny gets it, one doesn't, and then you get it. So, hopefully, this is maybe the turning point or the good omen that Armenia need. But how would you sum that game up, Eva? I think, yes, we've spoken about things generally, but in that game, I really don't think it was one that you deserved to lose. It was very much a tale of two halves.
Yeah, so the first half, they were pretty good. The defense seemed quite stable with Behrendt in it. And I think Pona and Klaus did a good job. Klaus and Vogelsammer in the front, they weren't really present, but Klaus is always very important in the midfield and the defense as well. But Edmundsson did a pretty decent game as well. But so I think it was quite deserved that they were in the lead, but the second half they just completely lost it. So nothing seemed to work together, and then you lose that game because a match consists of 90 minutes, not out of 45. And I don't really know, like, probably if I would have been in Zabina's place, maybe bring Owusu earlier because he has a really huge presence in the opponent's half because he's just very tall. So when you get like really long balls from the defense, he at least like just stands there and can do anything with the ball. And then again, so it's not the main reason, but again, I think the referee wasn't on our side. I think there is an arguable penalty again, but that, like, you can win those games even though the referee isn't on your side. And that's like the third match in a row they didn't manage to really play two good halves. And I think, as Fabian Klose said, he was really, really angry. He just said that the defense was really, really shitty. And I heard an interview and he was really, really angry with everything going on. And you could see that he was really devastated after the match. And I think Fürth deserved to win in the end because they played more consistent. They had more consistency in their play, and that's how it ends.
It was unfortunate, but I must say, for just wearing his heart in his sleeve, I don't think you can get rid of Fabian Klose. I know we spoke about this before, but I think you've got to give the guy an extension past the end of this season, don't you?
Definitely. He's, as I said, he's very important. Not only as a striker, but as a leader. You could see he was the captain again because Bernard was on the bench, and he's very, very important, and he stuck with Armenia through all those horrible years, and everything else would be very stupid, although he's like about over 30 now. Or though he's really important because you can see that he's like everywhere on the pitch, and it would be very, very stupid not to extend his contract.
Hopefully we see Samia Arabi take that on in the next couple of weeks and get that sorted. But Matthew, as much as we're analysing Armenia, At the moment, Greuther Fürth can't be stopped. They're winning games away from home. I think Danny said that's the first time he's ever seen them win back-to-back away games for I don't know how many years. For one reason or another, it's just clicking at the moment. And, you know, you can't argue with them being where they are in the table at the moment.
No, well worth the position. And, yeah, this was a case where they found a way to win, and miracles do happen. That Fabian Reese has scored a goal. It was almost exactly 2 years, so 729 days since his last goal, and that was in the Regionalliga Vest against Rot-Weiss Aalen. So that tells you all you need to know about him. And yeah, I mean, having Tobias Moore in glistening form, he has been outstanding. You could almost say he read our poll. He must have listened to the podcast, knew we didn't talk about him as the signing of the summer, and you know, put sock in mouth and scored twice, and you know, won the game for Fürth. And yeah, they've been fantastic. And you know, it's probably still early to say, but they're very much in that conversation for promotion.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see whether or not they can maintain that. And as we look ahead to Group 3, which is coming up in a moment, we're going to look at another side who we didn't really think would be up at that top end of the table, but they are. That's St. Pauli, and it's coming up next. And while we're talking about games that weren't that great, I think MSV against St. Pauli fits perfectly into that category. The highlight of the game for most people was the Sebuka choreo from the MSV Ultras before the game. Very, very well done. Fair play to them. I thought it was a great way to show support for the initiative. And if you haven't seen it already, it's on my Twitter, so cheeky plug. That game ended 1-0 for St. Pauli. I don't know what I'm doing. And it was Samuel Agui who got yet another late goal for the Hamburg-based side. And I think that's their seventh goal in the last 15 minutes of games this season. So St. Pauli are getting the job done late. But Matthew, the important thing is they are just getting the job done.
Yeah, and you know, as much as teams love to play pretty football, you know, 3 points to 3 points and finding ways to win. And once again, St. Pauli have done that. They did it last time against Sandhausen with two late goals in stoppage time. And once again, they've come up trumps. And yeah, Samuel Lagri, the match winner. And it's looking good. And they, you know, St. Pauli fans can look at the table and see that down below them is Hamburg. So it's for them, it must be a great feeling.
You had to get that in just to wind up the HSV fans, Matthew, didn't you? Now we're going to get so much hate from one half of Hamburg, but I hope the St. Pauli fans are kind to you anyway. Eva, you have MSV coming up in the DFB Pokal soon. That'll be an interesting one. How have you seen them so far after Torsten Liebeknecht took charge?
Yeah, I don't really know if he's the right coach for them because he wasn't that, it ended not really well with Braunschweig and him. I think he's a good coach and he did great work with Braunschweig, but Braunschweig was a completely different team than Duisburg. And yeah, I think they, as well as Armenia, they're not really arrived this season yet, so we will see how that goes. I think I wouldn't really recommend watching that game next Wednesday, especially at that time, so look that you watch a different game than that one. I think it will be like just whoever scores the first goal is going to win, so I don't really know. As you said, St. Pauli isn't that they're just doing the job, so no great football, but that's probably how St. Pauli plays the past year, so we will see how that all goes.
Seeing as that is an all-Zweite Bundesliga tie, that is actually the game that I am most interested in from a DFB Pokal perspective, so Zweite Bundesliga fans, you know which game to watch. Hopefully Armenia's excitement carries over into Duisburg, because if it's another game like that one, I think we all might be falling asleep. Another game that wasn't much better was Jan Regensburg against Darmstadt. Darmstadt taking the lead through Jovan Jones and looked like they might have been heading for that long-awaited win to get back on track. But, Matthew, as we said last week, it was important to stop the rot, and that's what they did.
Yep, it's a crucial point. You know, they lost four straight and conceded a bunch of goals. They were much better defensively. The goal they scored was quite good off a counter-attack, and it was a good finish from Jones. And yeah, I guess it's an improved performance, but you know, for parts of the game, they felt, well, they looked like they were in more control of the contest, and you know, maybe they could have stolen the 3 points, but you know, Regensburg showed their quality to level and take a point.
It almost seems, Eva, like Jan have kicked on since the 5-3 loss to Armenia, and Armenia found it pretty difficult. Were you impressed by them that day? I think most people had them down to do better than they were at that stage, but now I think for the last five games they're actually top of the form table.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that game, and I think they could have won it in the end because they were just a bit more eager to win. But I don't know, Regensburg is always, I think it's always a team that you can't really say how they will do. Like, you say they will do great, then they like not really fulfill the expectations. So they're always good for surprises. I think they did a good job not getting five goals against them again. So they put the work into the defense, and maybe that's a good way to start right now.
I think so. And the less said about that game in general, I think the better, much like MSV and St. Pauli. So we will move on to our final game of our match day 10 roundup, and that is Heidenheim against Magdeburg. A 3-0 win for Heidenheim. Mark Schnatter and Nikola Dovedan, the highlights of that game. And I think the more we watch of Nikola Dovedan, the more we see that it would be a big surprise if he's not a Bundesliga player come next season. I think he's been very, very good. And Matthew, I don't know how Heidenheim managed to win this one 3-0, because the entire second half, Magdeburg were pretty much camped in their half, but for one reason or another, it just didn't seem to work for them.
No. I mean, it was some stubbornish defending by Heidenheim. I thought Kevin Muller, you know, strong between the sticks for Heidenheim, but it was, yeah, I mean, the game looked pretty sewn up at halftime. I think the early goal from Griesbeck, and then Dovedan just before halftime kind of put the game to bed. I thought, you know, Magdeburg showed a lot more in the second half, but, you know, in the end, it was all for nothing. And, it was the efficiency going forward for Heidenheim. You know, five of their eight shots were on target, and it was their ability to convert over Magdeburg, which was the difference.
It certainly was, and it looked like Magdeburg missed the likes of Dennis Erdmann, although I think after what Andreas Vogelsammer said earlier on in the season, I don't think any striker is going to be saddened by his absence on the pitch. But yeah, I thought it was one of those games where Heidenheim took their chances and Magdeburg didn't. Eva, a fair result in the end, I guess, even though Magdeburg did have more shots.
Yeah, I think so. I think the more efficient team won in the end. And that was Heidenheim. I think they're on sixth place in the table now. Maybe not, they're not playing that well, but they're very efficient in what they're doing. So I think, and Kevin Muller, as Matthew said, he did quite good saves in the end. And with Mark Schnatterer and him being in the form he is, Heidenheim is always good for a win.
That is very true. I think even if you have the slightest interest in Zweite Bundesliga, it's always nice to see Mark Schnatterer do well. And we are going to go on to talk about Heidenheim in a moment or two as we begin our look ahead to match day 11. Yes, and after a mildly long break where we decided to discuss Kasper and Martyria and German music, including Helene Fischer, we are back with our Group 1 preview of Match Day 11. That includes St. Pauli against Kiel, and that's where we're going to start. It's a big game for two sides in Northern Germany who have started the season pretty well and will be looking to build on towards more. Matthew, this one's going to be quite close to call, actually.
Yeah, you know, obviously St. Pauli are the team flying high, and even though the football hasn't been particularly attractive, they find ways to win. And yeah, I think they might have the slightest of edges over Kiel. We know that, you know, Kiel have had their struggles at times. You know, they haven't kept a clean sheet in their last seven games, and in those seven fixtures, they're the first to concede in five of them. So that's something that we need to look out for. You know, last season, St. Pauli did the sweep, 1-0 win away from home, and then won 3-2 at home in the return fixture. So, you know, it should be an interesting game. Obviously, the atmosphere at the Millantor is going to be spectacular, as we expect. And, yeah, I think the boys in brown will have just that slight edge.
Hopefully there is no need for the hooligans to run onto the pitch and steal a flag like last time. Although Samuel Agui is in the form, the goal-scoring form anyway, to deal with them again should he be required. Eva, which way do you see this one going? I think most people are going to be leaning towards a St. Pauli home win.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because especially St. Pauli has always the advantage playing home. The fans are great. The atmosphere is spectacular. So I think they always have a bit of an advantage with that. I just hope it won't end like the St. Pauli-Hamburg game, because that would be a shame. Yeah. In the north, I think. I think it can be a very, very interesting game, but I would agree that St. Pauli will win that.
I think we've all had our fill with 0-0 draws to do this for quite a while. So if this weekend could be a little bit better and a little bit more exciting, I don't think any of us would complain. And from St. Pauli, we move to another big game. It's an East German derby between Union and Dynamo Dresden. Has all the makings of what could be a fantastic game. But Matthew, as we've seen, Union's defence is very, very tight, and whether or not Dynamo managed to break that down is going to be a big, big ask of them.
Yeah, and it will be a big key to the match. And if Dresden can find a way to penetrate the Union defence and create quality chances, then that will help them, you know, to take something from the contest. We know how stubborn, you know, Urs Fischer's side is defensively, and it's no mistake that they have the best defensive record in the league. You know, very good defensive back four, and you know, plenty of options on, you know, if there are injuries to occur. And yeah, it's going to be interesting if Dresden can do enough to give the likes of Musa Kone and Haris Dulevic an opportunity on goal.
It'll be interesting to see indeed if they can manage that. It would be a massive coup if they did manage to take all 3 points away from Berlin. But Eva, I think for Union, the question is maybe is it time to give Sebastian Polter a start again ahead of Sebastian Anderson? Matthew, you've already spoken about how it's been a couple of weeks since Anderson last found the back of the net. But do you think it's time, Eva, that Polter takes his place again as the lead man?
Maybe. I think so. They would have like the surprise moment on their side a bit, because either one of the teams know how that will play out, but I don't really know how that game could end. I would tend to go with Dresden, because it seems like they always, sometimes they do better when they're away this season, but Yeah, I don't really know. So I would either go for a draw or like a last minute win for Leicester. We will see if Poulter gets the chance to play. Maybe he will be the changing point in that game, but we will see how that one will play out.
The last time you did my kick tip for me, it went very, very well. So if anyone's listening and want tips on how the game's going to go, don't listen to us, listen to Eva, because...
not me, not the other.
Yeah, well,
Eva, who has, like, a bad football.
That was a team effort, I'm going to say. But, I think the Dynamo game you got right that week. So maybe 2 out of 2, I don't know. And our final Group 1 game is another big battle at the bottom for Ingolstadt. If they lose this one, they are in real, real trouble. They host MSV Duisburg. And Matthew, if Ingolstadt don't win that one, are we asking questions of whether or not Alexander Nui needs to go already?
Yeah, it'll be a strange one. But, I mean, if they do lose, it's 5 losses in 5 games for Nui. And, yeah, I mean, then they'd have to question whether he was the right man in the first place. And then you're really asking the wrong questions at this stage of the season. And yeah, I mean, the stats show that, you know, since the Köln game, they've been borderline atrocious, and defensively they've been all over the place. And, you know, they play an opponent that's historically they don't match up well against. So, you know, Ingolstadt in the 10 previous meetings, Ingolstadt have only won once. So, you know, it doesn't look very positive, but, you know, if they need to turn it around, they have to do it this week. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to see them, you know, staying up.
Eva, do you think this is the week where Ingolstadt finally managed to get a win under Alexander Nui?
I think it's a good week to start with it, because Duisburg is probably one of the teams they could manage to win against. But it wouldn't be a game I would watch if I had the chance to, probably. We will see how that one plays out as well. Ingolstadt has like all the resources to win those matches, but I think it's something they have to change in their mentality. And maybe if they would win that one, they would have cleared the path to start into a good season now.
It's a big, big game for so many reasons at the wrong end of the table, but we're going to turn our attention to the top end of the table, or at least the teams hoping to stay there, in our Group 2 preview. We will start Group 2 with Köln's game against Heidenheim. And Matthew, after 2 games without a win for Köln and Heidenheim in such good form, this is going to be a pretty tough game for them.
Yeah, and, you know, as we've spoken on the podcast quite regularly, you know, there seems to be a blueprint in how to play Köln at home, and, you know, you would be very surprised if Heidenheim don't adopt this tactic of sitting back, allowing Köln to have, you know, 70%+ of possession and really, you know, limit the amount of opportunities. I think keeping Simon Terodde quiet will help their cause, and we've seen how dangerous Heidenheim are on the counter attack. You know, they'll be hopeful that they can get Robbie Glatzel back after he missed with injury last time out. But, you know, they've showed that they can get goals through Dovidan and Schnatterer, and, you know, those three will be quite pivotal in the success of Heidenheim getting a result in Köln.
Yes, I think they're going to have to be very, very efficient on the counter-attack. And as you mentioned, those three are very much adept at doing so. Eva, do you think Heidenheim can come away with something from this game, or is it just too big of an ask for them?
I don't really know. I think it really depends how the day form of Köln is on that day. But normally I think that would be a game that Köln would win, but a lot of would and coulds in there. So as we said earlier, with Schnatterer in a good form, if they always have the advantage, or there's always this possibility they could win. So I think it can be a very, very interesting game to watch.
I think when it comes to ifs, buts, would, and could, that is basically how everyone speaks about VfL Bochum. And while Heidenheim and Köln should be a very good game, I think Bochum against Jan Regensburg on Monday evening is one of the more underwhelming Monday fixtures that we've ever had, but such is the fact that both sides have been knocked out of the DFB Pokal. This is where we find ourselves, the highlight of Monday evening, which is never somewhere where anyone wants to be, but nevertheless, a good chance for Bochum to pick up 3 points against a side that is close with them in the table, and it's just the sort of morale boost that Bochum could do with. Not that they're short on morale, a very good 0-0 draw in Hamburg at the weekend, but Matthew, if Bochum are to push towards the right end of the table, this could be a very, very important game for them.
It would, and winning would be obviously quite helpful, but, you know, Jana coming in great form, you know, unbeaten in their last six, and in the last five games, they've taken 11 points from a possible 15, which is the best in the league. So, you know, the Bavarians have got it going, and it's going to be a very, very interesting game. We know how dangerous Jan are on the counter, and also just going forward in general, they've got plenty of options. You know, you've got Marco Grüttner, who's finally hitting his straps, and Adamian has been quite consistent to the point where, you know, he was, you know, featured in the international break. And yeah, it's the really, the question will be is which Bochum attacking force is going to come out. Are we going to see that team that, you know, is free flowing, and, you know, the likes of Robbie Cruz and Tommy Vilund and Lucas Hintzera are working in unison more? We're going to see a team that, you know, could play, you know, 180 minutes and still wouldn't find the back of the net.
As I put it at the weekend, some of the players couldn't cross a road, never mind a football, couldn't finish a fish supper, or couldn't hit a barn door. But hopefully that isn't the case on Monday evening. Eva, do you think my beloved Bochum can take 3 points in this one, or are you backing Jan Regensburg to take all 3 points?
No, I really think that Bochum can manage to win that one, because they showed in the past they can be efficient, even when they're not having that much, those many chances. But yeah, Regensburg can, like, they can really set off, like, They have their ways to score. You could see that against Darmstadt when they showed that the defense wasn't just working together really well. So, but I'm sure that Bochum will, they have a good defense, I think a decent one, and they could really manage to win.
It's only taken five or six guests, but finally someone who talks nicely about Bochum. So, Eva, you're welcome back on any time. From Bochum, we head to Magdeburg, and they have a big, big game against HSV this weekend. After a 3-0 defeat to Heidenheim, HSV probably aren't the opponent that you would want to face. But at the same time, Matthew, with how inconsistent HSV can be, maybe this is just the sort of game that Magdeburg want.
It could be, but it's not ideal. They're lucky that Hamburg have been a bit toothless going forward. But, you know, when they've had a stable defence with David Bates, you know, the Ginger Ramos, or Rick van Drongelen, that pairing has been rock solid. And it's been pretty evident that, you know, they don't, you know, since the opening match day, where they got battered by Kiel, those two have certainly, you know, developed quite well as a tandem, and have kept it strong. And, you know, they'll face a tough test in the likes of keeping the likes of Tirpitz and Christian Beck quiet. But I think ultimately this will be a few steps too high for Magdeburg to climb.
Do you think it'll be another tough one for Magdeburg, Eva? I think they've equipped themselves quite well to deal with Zweite Bundesliga, but it just hasn't happened for them. They've failed to get over the line in a lot of games. I think for the majority of those they have been winning, but it's just not happened for them. Do you think this is going to be a case of an easy-ish win for HSV to get some confidence going again, or can Magdeburg further upset the apple cart?
Well, I mean, it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch. And if we're honest, no game in the Schweizer Liga can be considered easy, as is the competition. You know, all the teams, anyone can beat anyone on any given day. And it's been proven throughout, you know, the opening 10 match days that that is very, very possible. You just wonder which Hamburg attack is going to come out. You wonder if Tietz is going to actually play a proper striker, or will he persist with, you know, having either, you know, Narai playing that false nine? Does he try Huang Hee-chan in that false nine role and having Narai operate on the rights? I mean, it seems like no matter what goes on with Hamburg, they want to persist with the false nine. So it'll be interesting, but I think they will be tested. You know, Magdeburg is a tough place to play, and I think if Magdeburg can nab a quick goal or two, then, you know, they will really upset the apple cart, so to speak.
Eva, do you think Magdeburg can pull off an upset, or is it a case of HSV will manage to get over the line in this one?
I would agree with Matthew saying that it's not going to be easy for Hamburg. I think if Magdeburg would be the first one to score, they could really bring like the win home, or like keep it in Magdeburg. But I think if Hamburg scores first, they will win that one. So I think in that game, it's a matter of who scores first and not really like who's the better team. And I think HSV they have a bit of an advantage because they are better away than they are at home this season. So, yeah, maybe I would go with HSV, although I'm not really fond of it. But, yeah, I think I'd
win that. We will see how that one goes. And from a very interesting set of games in Group 2, we'll move on to our final three games of Match Day 11 in our Group 3 set of fixtures. We will start our Group 3 preview with Aue against Arminia Bielefeld, and we will come to Eva first with this one. Eva, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I think it could be a real turning point now. I would maybe not change the defense again, although Saiga is way too slow. But maybe the only thing I would really change, it would be great if Schütz would be back already. So because he's a very important figure in the midfield, but maybe I would put Vogelsammer on the bench and play Owusu close instead. I don't know how that one would work out, but you have like a lot of possibilities to have very tall people in as strikers in the front, so maybe that one will work out. But the first goal would be that they put like all their strength into the defense, because that's I would like not go with your hope that this match day would be very amazing and interesting. I'm like really happy about a 0-0 on Saturday. I'm really glad I can't see that one though, if they, it would be really great opportunity to improve their away skills this season, because I think they're like one of the worst games worst teams away, so that would be a good way to start to improve that.
Hopefully this is the start of things turning a corner for Armenia in that sense, especially defensively, as you say. Matthew, do you share Eva's hope that at least they can keep a clean sheet in this one?
Yeah, I think if they can improve defensively, that'll go a long way into securing a point. It is a fixture that Bielefeld does quite well in. They're unbeaten in their last six meetings. And the last time Auer got took all 3 points against Bielefeld was back in 2011. So maybe that is a good omen for Armenia. But, you know, when the two sides played last season, Vogel Samla scored in both fixtures. So, you know, we shall see. But, yeah, I think being stubborn defensively for Bielefeld will go a long way to helping, helping the team's fluidity, and then, you know, see if they can test the Auer defence and Martin Mannel.
I think if they can frustrate for Auer for long enough, maybe the game will open up and they'll get a few more chances. We shall see. But as an unbiased group of people, I think we're all wishing Armenia the best in this one. We'll move on to Darmstadt against Greuther Fürth. Greuther Fürth away from home once more, and should they win this one, well, I think Danny would genuinely believe in miracles if Fürth win three away games in a row. There is the chance for them to go top of the table this weekend, which is fairly unbelievable from where we thought they would be at the start of this season. But Matthew, this is a game that I would probably make them favourites for.
Yeah, this is a more than winnable game for them, and yeah, it is unbelievable to think that they're in a position where they could actually be top at the end of the match day, and it's certainly a lot higher than I think the majority of us had them. Again, Darmstadt enter in, you know, poor form. They're winless in their last six, and they haven't kept the clean sheet, so it tells you all you need to know about how Delinian are going. And yeah, I think the way Fürth are playing, especially that second half, showed, you know, what they're more than capable of doing on the road in Bielefeld, and I think that'll be too strong for Darmstadt.
Eva, do you share that view? Do you think that Fürth can take all 3 points from this one?
Yeah, I think so too, especially if they continue to play like they played this second half against Bielefeld. That would be a very easy one to win against Darmstadt, because as we saw in the past, Darmstadt is not really consistent in their playing. And yeah, I would give that one to Fürth as well.
And our final game. We've been recording for 2.5 hours to get this far, but we have finally got there. Our final game of the week is Paderborn against Sandhausen. Matthew, it's hard to look past Paderborn even after Sandhausen's great win at the weekend.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, some would say it was a blip in the road, even though they were playing the best defensive side in the league. And, you know, I think they will have learned from that experience and, you know, play a team who used to be very good defensively but have shown some fragility in the back half. And, yeah, I think Paderborn will regain that confidence, regain that scoring flow, and they should take a relatively good victory.
You would imagine so. And Eva, even though they are the neighbouring town of Armenia and certainly not as good as Bielefeld, do you think that this is going to be Paderborn's day?
Yeah, I think it won't be an easy match to win, because Sandhausen has they gained a bit of self-confidence against Ingolstadt, winning 4-0. But I think that Paderborn will work, or has worked already a bit, on the efficiency, and that they will continue to play like they play against Union, but this time they will score some goals. And I think it can be a very close one in the end, but I think if Paderborn starts to score first and they continue with 2-0 or so, they're probably able to win that one.
I would have to agree with both of you there. And that is the end of our Match Day 11 preview. And just to round things off, we're going to take a quick look at your questions this week, just the two this time, so it won't take too much of your time to tune in for these last two. Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3 asks, why do you think HSV are having problems at the Volkspark? Do you think it's due to the pressure of performing well in front of their fans? Matthew, what do you think the case is?
Well, I couldn't imagine it being, you know, failing to produce under pressure of actually having expectations of doing well this season. I just think they just don't have the options in terms of, you know, they keep playing the false nine, and it's been showcased throughout the season that it hasn't worked. But Tietz has been really persistent on it. They haven't had consistency from their strikers. I don't think it's their defence, despite the fact that they've conceded three to Keelan and then that five to Regensburg. But those are, you know, outliers in the sense. So I think it's just that they've just struggled to consistently find the back of the net at home. I think that's just been their major issue.
Eva, do you think goal scoring is the problem, or is there another issue there behind what's been keeping HSV from doing so well at home?
I don't know. Maybe they are a bit afraid of performing in front of their fans because they started to in the season with losing against Kiel, 3-0, and that was a really bad start into the season, and maybe since then, you could see that against Bielefeld as well. They weren't really playing that aggressively, and maybe they're a bit afraid of losing the support. I think they will change that, so they will be teams they will win, but maybe it's not just that they're playing it at home, so it's, as Matthew said, scoring goals as well. So I'm pretty sure that will improve in the near future. I think it's definitely a point that they're a bit afraid of disappointing the fans at home.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, and to be honest, on Sunday I thought that HSV were pretty decent, but you know, once they get into the right areas, I think their decision making is quite poor. They fail to take advantage of good opportunities when they arise, and maybe they just need to take a little bit more time, think about things before they do it. And you know, there was chances to cut Bochum open, and for whatever reason they went for a hopeful shot instead of the pass, or the pass was to the wrong person. It was just that sort of frustrating game. Whether or not they can turn that round remains to be seen, but I think they have a similar issue to Köln, and where for most teams it is the cup final for them. And, you know, if they can get a result at the Volkspark or the Mungerstoffer Stadion, it's massive for the club, and it's something that a lot of these teams will remember for a very long time. So I think that is something that also works against them. And our final question comes in for Emmanuel Rosu at Emishore on Twitter. We'll get one word answers for this. Do you think Heidenheim can push for promotion, Matthew?
No.
And Eva?
I think so as well, no.
I'm also going to make it 3-0, so it sounds like we're X-Factor judges there. But that is it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed what has been quite a lighthearted podcast, I think. I would like to thank Eva for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
It has been our pleasure. And Matthew, thank you for coming on as always and having to listen to me every Tuesday morning.
Pleasure as always.
Pleasure probably isn't the word that I would use. But anyway, that is it for our Match Day 10 preview or review and our Match Day 11 preview. Until next week, enjoy your weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football, and we'll speak to you soon.